are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
That you would be indeed, ladies and gentlemen, because this is our four-year anniversary. We're going into a fifth year. This is our 208th show.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would have said 400.
Really?
No, wow, that 208th
show. 208th
show. Yeah. And we're going into our fourth year.
We're going into our fifth year.
We're going into our fifth year. Oh, wow. Yeah. You're one of those people that confuses people, like when you're born, are you 1 year old or are you zero? You're one of those people.
I like doing that.
Persnickety types that are all... How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. How are you, sir?
Good. I am good. It's great to be here. I'm very excited about the show today.
I am, too. But first, I think we better take some business here and get it out of the way. And we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And you know, Paul, we have got a jam-packed show today with
two
in-studio
guests.
Well,
we have a Brit, so it would be marmalade, wouldn't it? Do they say marmalade or jam?
Marmalade.
I don't want to lose you in the jargon. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
They're both musical, as you well know, Paul.
Indeed I do. He is a London West End and Broadway musical theater star who's here today to talk about his one-man musical, a tribute to composer Anthony Newley, opening June 8th as part of Hollywood's Fringe Theater Festival. Say hello to the uber-talented John Peterson.
Hey! Oh, my
goodness. Thank you.
Where'd they come from? You just bust them in?
Terrified me.
Hollywood?
He's a performer and he's terrified of applause. I don't know if that's encouraging or what.
My goodness.
Oh, Lord.
But raising the bar of beauty in the studio today, Paul, by more than a good measure.
Thank you.
She's a regional musical theater performer and the Pearl Mesta of high-end LA children's parties and other types of parties. She'll be bringing her all-new musical show, Life, Love, and All That Comes With It, to none other than Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal on June 9th, highlighting the club's actual eight-year anniversary date. So give it up for the gorgeous Maura Hanlon-Smith.
I like a good yeehaw.
You do, don't we all? Yes, we do.
I want to pursue that question. No, let's give her the real
applause.
Give her the applause.
Yeah, that's a whole other show, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So before we get to our guests here, Michael, how was your week?
You know, it was going really well because it was a holiday weekend and a pretty nice one, I might say, right? Weather-wise, it was good. Went to a couple of great shows that I'm going to talk about in the arts calendar. And everything going so well except on Monday night, on the Memorial Day night.
Right.
Something went awry with my whole internet and the whole system of everything. And I was on the phone.
That's funny because my internet went whole wheat.
Oh,
he said awry. Wow. Is this thing on? Oh,
really?
Sorry.
Go ahead. They were very intently.
They were engaged.
Yes,
And I came up with quite possibly the worst joke I've ever uttered. But continue, Michael, please.
It was just one of those things that, you know, where it's suddenly your whole... It's a sad statement, actually, to make that your whole life stops.
Yeah. You don't realize how reliant you are on it.
Your personal life, it's... Oh, man. And so I found myself on the phone for 2.5 hours talking to two very nice technicians in India.
Of course.
Yeah. But they couldn't have been sweeter. And they actually fixed it totally affected the Facebook thing, my mail, everything.
Really?
So the assumption was someone was trying to hack it at the time.
Really?
That's what their assumption was. However, they overcame everything, and they cleaned out the computer. You know, this is all done, of course, while you're watching it happen, and they're doing it from India.
Oh, right. They take your desktop. They share your desktop.
Interesting fact about India. Do you know that they're on their time differential between us, which is 12 hours, is actually 12 hours, one would think, on an even scale, hour by hour? It's not. It's 12 and a half.
Really?
Depending on where you are in India.
I didn't know that was true for anywhere, that it would
be
a half
hour.
Yes,
and that's what I said to them, too, and they kept correcting me, and I figured I better listen to what they had to say.
Yes. They were helping.
If I've learned anything, Michael, it's don't correct the tech support people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you end up with two Dixie cups and a string.
Yeah.
That's how
so
you end.
Other than that, it was fine. But you had a rather adventuresome weekend, didn't
I
you?
I did. It was my wife's birthday, and we went to the Ritz-Carlton in Laguna Niguel. Beautiful space down there. And sat oceanside for a day. It was a 24-hour vacation out of town, and it was just beautiful, that facility down there.
I saw that photo you posted on the Facebook.
On the Libro di Faccia. Libro di Faccia. And it was wonderful. And she's celebrated her birthday. We had a great time, and we're very lucky in that regard because we have friends that work for Marriott Properties, and also when Ritz-Carlton is owned by Marriott. So we get little perks here and there that are wonderful, and
nice.
really enjoyed it.
Lucky you.
It was a great time. I really enjoyed it.
I wonder if the Marriott people would do anything about that if they were listening. No?
I don't know. We could certainly ask them. Phenomenal. And the 180 Blue Lounge out in the water. Beautiful place. The Raya restaurant. Can't recommend it high enough. Just hold up the cards, Michael.
I was going to say, it might turn out to be the Super 8 Ritz.
We're Red Roof Inn people. That's us. We're Red Roof Inn. All right, let's get to our in-studio guests here.
Absolutely.
We are absolutely pleased to be welcoming from across the pond a critically acclaimed star of musical theater in both London's West End and on Broadway. Throughout the UK, he has been seen in such shows as Cats, She Loves Me, The Sound of Music, and A Chorus Line, to name but a very few. On Broadway and throughout the U.S., his equally numerous credits include dazzling performances as the MC in Candor and Ebb's Cabaret, George M. Cohan in George M. Cohan Tonight, Arthur Kipps in Half a Sixpence, and Frankenfurter in the Rocky Horror. That would be the Rocky Horror Show, not the Rocky Horror Picture.
The Rocky Horror Show.
Please welcome a real deal song and dance man, John Peterson.
Hello.
Howdy. How are you?
That applause ended very abruptly.
It did.
Well, sometimes they don't listen, so
yes,
we have to beat them into submission.
That's right.
So,
how are you, John?
Hollywood Fringe.
My first time. I'm terrified, but it's going to be exciting.
Really? No. Why would that make you terrified?
Well, I'm sort of excited, too, because it's like a guerrilla theater. So I'm just looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's a new show.
You're so gifted. I mean, really, you know that. I mean, I'm saying that as a friend. You are so truly gifted. In fact, we have a track we're going to play at some point here to show you and to give you all that wonderful experience out there who are listening to us. And I mean, I would go see this guy anywhere that he's singing.
Oh, you're so
with
sweet.
Anything. So creative you are.
Well, I try to. Oh, because, you know, I've got to the age now where I'm just sick of relying on auditions to get a job.
Yeah.
So I started creating my own stuff a few years ago, like 8 years ago. And it's basically all I do. No, it's not. I mean, I just do little indie movies and this.
Yeah.
Now, that's all I do. I don't do any more.
He held up a postcard, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, so this.
Yes.
This, sorry.
Yes.
That's my show. I just have this in case you need any dates.
We have all that information.
So now, always a huge... the show is he wrote good songs, which is sort
that's
of
called,
a love letter to Mr. Anthony Newley.
Yes, it's
great...
actually a play, really. It's a one-man show, but it's a play. It's not so much a cabaret show.
That was my next question. Is there a formal narrative and everything? It's not just like a review?
I'm him from the age of 9 to when he passes away.
Really?
And I just live, not in real time, but in 85 minutes, his whole life.
Now, I'm curious, when you do something like that, do you know what songs, if you're composing the narrative, do you know what songs you're going to use and hobble the narrative to fit that, or is it the other way around?
I think I've found songs first. I found a list of songs, you know, like 25 songs, and I thought, oh, these are so great, and they kind of... Because he was he wrote his songs to reflect the way he thought and the way he felt about life and everything. So that was easy. So basically, the songs dictate the path of his life. He literally could have written the score of this show to be his life story. So that was, thank God for Anthony Newley being so
prolific,
and also because you know all of his works, "I've Stopped the World, I Want to Get Off," was basically his own life, as was. His movie, Can Hieronymus Merkin Never Forget Mercy Hump and Find True Happiness?
I actually saw that movie. Can you imagine say that title?
Would you say that again?
Can Hieronymus Merkin Never Forget Mercy Hump and Find True Happiness?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But some great songs, you know, and they kind of... they tell the story of his life. So,
and of course,
thanks,
you know,
Anthony.
He was married to Joan Collins.
Was he?
At one point. I don't know whether he was married beyond that or before that.
He was before and beyond, above and beyond.
Yes, above and beyond. Well, that must have been
one
some
of a few.
Marriage of sparks flying.
He wrote the songs for the film for Willy Wonka, too,
that's
right?
Yes, with, well? Yes,
the Roald Dahl.
With Leslie Brickus.
I mean, the Gene Wilder.
That's
the,
right.
The good version of Willy Wonka, sorry.
The only version that you want to see.
And also... the wonderful song "Pure Imagination," didn't he write?
Yes,
that's from Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
I have a special affection for Willy Wonka because one of my childhood friends. Actually, I was friends more with his two sisters, Allegra and Tanya. But
of course,
Paris,
you were.
Paris. Well, we went to school together. Paris was a couple of years older than me, but Paris Themen, who played Mike TV in Willy Wonka, the film Willy Wonka, the one the little boy who gets broken up into all the pieces and transferred through.
I love
a wonderful, wonderful actor, Paris Themen, and a great. It was a great acting teacher as well, and just
amazing.
Just to be, imagine being in that, just it's like being a part of history.
Just to get that golden ticket in.
But that's how I remember that, because so many good, that's how I got acquainted with Anthony Newley, which I think a lot of people of my generation.
He wrote good songs. I mean, he really did. The title of the show is very
well active. See, now when you say it, it just all makes sense, doesn't it, when you say the title like you
like
just
he wrote
good songs.
I mean, he was a genius, and he directed, and he was a great actor and a singer. Of course, the singer that style of his was so unique, which later became slightly parodied by people and himself.
Oh, that sort of sing
open
speak
vowel,
sort of.
Well, he was very kind of he had kind of a bon vivant thing.
Oh,
it, didn't he?
Yeah, he loved life. He never took anything too seriously.
Yeah,
Where did I get that from? I've never said that before in my life. Darling.
No, but it rolled off the tongue completely. Later on, I'll tell you what it means. But no, he was. He was. I use this term with all affection, but it was almost like a fop, like
absolutely.
But, you know, just a real sort of rake.
I think because he was so intelligent, and show business is so full of how do you spell it? S-H-I-T.
Yes.
Sheet. That's a French.
Sheet is German.
Merde.
He didn't take anything seriously, and yet it affected him deeply. He drove him crazy. He became manically depressed by show business. However, he was intelligent enough to siphon that through and just think the whole thing is just a sham and just a laugh. And yet he took his work very seriously.
Right, but he didn't generate, but didn't generate Drek while thinking that.
No,
generated
no, no.
Wonderful stuff.
Wonderful stuff, but because he knew, you know, the truth. He knew how it all worked, and then don't buy into it.
Right.
He was a genius.
Did you ever have the pleasure of meeting him or knowing him?
Actually, he did. I auditioned for him. He was doing Scrooge in the West End, not long before he passed away, actually. I auditioned and got a part in the show, but I didn't do it because I was rowing with my agent at the time. And I said, I don't want to. Why do I keep being sent up for musicals all the time? Put me up for TV. You know how we do. And she said, yes, darling. So I went away on vacation to Crete, came back, and she said, you got Scrooge, by the way. And I said, oh my God, that's fantastic. But we turned it down. And your fingertips, how do you do that?
Right there.
So
I sensed where this was going.
Can you believe that? My only child, and he was so lovely in the audition, like took personal, you know, care of me and coached me and was a charming, wonderful man. And I just fell in love with him, you know, and I just could not believe my child. And then he passed away. When
you
he passed
to
away.
Be careful of what you wish
what you
for.
Say. I still say saying. The same thing.
Yeah.
I'm fed up with this. I still haven't changed.
I want to put the information out here for this. This is at the it's at the Asylum Lab. This is great. This is a very intimate space. So if you're going to see it, you can see it right up front.
Yes.
This is the Asylum Lab at the Asylum Theater. That's 6320 Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles. The preview is Sunday, June 8th at 4:00, and there's a special preview ticket price of what? Is that not a misprint?
It's $1. Misprint.
$1.
$1.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
See, that's a thing.
That's the
thing
fringe.
LA's got going for it. This, you could see stuff of this quality. Friday, June 13th at 8:30. Oh, this is important for people to listen because the fringe dates can be a little sporadic
and they are.
Friday, June 13th at 8:30 p.m. Monday, June 16th at 10. Saturday, June 21st at 11 a.m. And Saturday, June 28th at 5:30 p.m. Of course, we'll throw these times and dates out there again a couple of times before the end of the hour. But the Hollywood tickets are at the door or at hollywoodfringe.org/projects/1613, but I'm sure the Fringe, the
and
Hollywood
tickets
Fringe
are only 10 bucks.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying. It's
cheap.
Just unbelievable.
Very cheap.
And you know, I must say,
yes,
in because we have a good friend on this show who is musical directing for John.
Yes, Joshua Kranz.
The amazing Joshua Kranz.
Oh, my God. Incredibly gifted young man.
Couldn't get hooked up better than that, could you?
How did I get hold of him? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Why do you
want
to play for me? No, he's wonderful. We're having such a great time. He's just a genius.
He is a genius. Yeah. He plays every instrument. We, you know, from the time he was a little boy, he's learned them all, and he's just one of those guys.
And you can see his brain whirring when you're talking about stuff and stuff.
He's
like, oh, yes, I get it. You mean this. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
Joshua's got a couple of projects in the hopper that we can't talk about yet because he's
going
to want to do those announcements himself, but
important.
We'll have him on again to talk about those things.
Absolutely.
He was a wonderful guest. Had him on with Kristen Towers Rolls when he was here.
And he comes from a lovely family of people who are very vested in his success, so that's so wonderful to have a family like that.
And it's just the two of you, right?
Just us two, yes. Wow. Just telling the story, 85 minutes. Wham,
so
bam.
There is dialogue in between the music?
It's a play.
Yeah.
Play. And did you keep the nude water ballet or did you take it out? Because I know we were discussing that.
We expanded it.
Did you? I guess that's the most polite way to put it. We should.
Is that the 11 o'clock number in the show?
Yeah. The 10 o'clock show is different from the 8 o'clock. So when the kids go home.
Well, listen, I think we should give everybody the treat of hearing John sing.
So I think so, too. This song
is Anthony Newley song.
This Dream, yes.
It's not in the show, actually, but I recorded it for an album a few years ago, but it's Newley, pure Newley.
So this is the Newley sampler. This is John Peterson singing This Dream.
This dream, I have this wonderful dream where I win. Where I win every battle I fight, and I kill every dragon inside. Each night I lie awake and I wait for my dream. What a world I create when I dream I'm not lonely. A pity it's only a dream. But such a fabulous dream that I feel that the real world is really unreal, and the wildest of dreams can come true. They do, but they only come true. Such a fabulous dream that I feel that the real world is really unreal, and the wildest of dreams can come true.
Okay, that was pretty as hell.
Talk about dulcet tones.
Wow.
Good Lord.
And that didn't make it into the show. Is that just because of what we were talking earlier? It just didn't sort of fit the tale?
It didn't move the story along, unfortunately.
Yeah. Was it in an earlier draft?
Actually, it never was. No, because it never did move the story along.
There's so many things when you're composing something. Oh. What do they say? You always have to give up your favorite joke.
Yeah.
You always have to give up your favorite line, because if it doesn't serve it.
Yeah. And I'm working with amazing Gwen Hillier, who is an old chorus gal from Broadway shows, and she was the casting director on General Hospital until recently. She just retired, so she's directing, and she's saying, cut it, we love it, but it's gotta go, because it's holding it up. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just saying yes to everything, and then sometimes I'll discuss something in depth, but it's good to have someone to tell you.
Do you ever question a decision like that? Even if you go with it, do you think
I immediately go, oh, of course you're right, and then I think about it and go, either yes, you're right, or let's talk about it. And then we talk about it, and it either stays or goes. So we're all very diplomatic.
I have to tell you, that's one of the things I look for. I did a one-person show myself for about 9 years and 1,600 performances of it.
Oh, God.
And one of the things I always look for when I see the promotional material is, let there be a director.
Yes, yeah. Have to have one.
Because when you see written and performed and directed by
and
one
composed.
Person, it's like, oh, this is theater as therapy. I guarantee you. This is going to be, you'd really have to watch for that, because you need that perspective.
You need a third eye and a fourth eye.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's...
She's got three eyes. No, I'm joking. No. When you know, you're beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
How kind the Brits are.
Yes. It's okay. We'll edit that out. Oh, she's a retired casting director, so we can leave it in. If she was still working, we'd edit it out. He Wrote Good Songs is the show that we're talking about. This is part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival's John Peterson that we have here. And... the show will, there's a preview on Sunday, June 8th at 4, special ticket price of $1. And then Friday, June 13th at 8:30, Monday, June 16th at 10, Saturday, June 21st at 11 a.m., and Saturday, June 28th at 5:30 p.m.
Yeah.
And a $10 ticket price, you can't beat. It's the Asylum Lab right there. Just go a little farther south there, hit Larchmont Village, dine there. There's a bunch of great restaurants over there. I always push that when we're talking
like
about
that area. Yeah, I'm glad you're saying that.
It's a little farther south, and you got to come back
and
up.
And you know,
leave time for parking, I should say that. Parking will be a little tight there. Just make sure you leave time for it.
And the preview, of course, that dollar preview on the 8th is something to consider, even though it is... the Tony Awards.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, poor night. Tony Awards.
Yeah, because they'll all be at your show.
But it's at 4 p.m., though.
Oh,
that's true.
It's at 4. Oh. So you get to see it before you even go.
Take that back.
Yeah.
You can do both. You can see John.
You get a Tony Award primer.
And then you
can see Tony Award primer.
That's right.
And then you go.
And then you can see the lesser talents later.
And see the lesser talents later in the evening, yes. All right. Oh, that's hysterical. Michael, you have a couple of reviews. For our arts calendar thing, and then we'll talk to the lovely Maura here to my right and to your left. Not that it matters where she's seated to our listeners. But what?
Well, at some point she's going to be on one of our laps. I don't know.
Well, I didn't want to say that.
Yeah.
Well. You know, I'm just...
she's turning so red.
In all the right places.
Yeah, with the woo. I have the pleasure of seeing two things. One, we spoke about in last week's program, Paul, as you recall, Neil Adams, the former wife of movie star Steve McQueen.
Yes. She was going to be a guest, but she was indisposed.
She had a very bad cold, as I came to learn. I had a lovely conversation with her after her show, which I went to at the El Portal Theater in the Monroe Forum there on Sunday. I caught on Saturday afternoon, I caught the matinee. And I want to tell you, this woman is 79, turning 80 in July. You know, she's quite a vamp.
Yeah,
as we know from her earlier days, we saw that footage.
And she's still a stunner.
She still has that body. And
amazing.
She is amazing at this age, and she has still got it together vocally, and she does all the dance moves.
Wow.
She's not dancing full out, but it was staged so beautifully, and she had a three-piece trio behind her who just kicked ass. And I was so taken with her, and she was very much a star. I mean, you know who you can... when somebody is in that much control of what they're doing on a stage,
right,
in a cabaret concert, nightclub act. Mm. And that she did it, and she was spellbound.
Spellbinding. You were spellbound. You were spellbound. It was awkward because she came out on stage and she just sat there spellbound.
I know. So,
it was a little slow, but I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
I did. And I must say that people gave her the most lovely, warm, reception.
And that venue, that little studio space.
Yeah.
And it's not little.
It's not.
That compared to the cavernous main stage space at the El Portal.
It's kind of a crescent-shaped
A thrust, yeah. And it's a perfect venue for a cabaret. Have they done cabaret-style things there before?
Not very often. But in this case, they actually put some tables, about four tables, in front of where the audience seats were. Wow. So not dissimilar to what they did in Cabaret.
That's what I was thinking at the MTLA, right?
The former MTLA, yes. At what is that space called?
What is that space?
It's right in Hollywood.
The Met Theater.
Right.
Eduardo Enriquez did the MC, a friend of ours. Brilliant job of that. Yes, but so it worked very well there. So she's going to come to my club next time.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, that's what we had a little conversation about at the end.
We should also tell people on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/stateoftheartsLA, we posted a photo essay of her and Steve McQueen from 1963 Life magazine that she narrates. And it's just a steamy pictures, but black and white and just beautiful shots, just so much sexier. Because of what you don't see, than the Drek he's Drek twice in one show. The Kardashian garbage and all that.
Right.
But it's so the way the shots are done, so beautifully shot, and her and Steve McQueen and the pre-Beatle days of the 60s, just phenomenal photographs.
And
really.
The interesting thing, which that showed, was her, she was from Broadway, so she was quite a star from Broadway, mm-hmm. and she would be the one that would be guesting on the variety shows of that era, Perry Como and all of those shows, as the guest star, and she brought her husband, Steve McQueen, he was just coming into his own as a movie star, but he was totally a fish out of water on those shows because he didn't know what to do. And they worked it out with the script and kind of played that up, made him look like a goof.
But right.
Apparently with this show, which included a lot of footage of them together and personal photographs.
Oh, like multimedia stuff.
Yes, right.
Is it still running?
No, it was just for 2 days.
I'd love to have seen that.
Yeah, but she'll come back. You'll come to Sterling's.
Well, you can see it when she does it at Sterling's.
I've been trying to get him to Sterling's for, what,
three years? Because I don't have to dance.
I know.
No more dancing, yeah.
I know. You could dance at Sterling's.
And what else did you see? Is that
the Opera House?
Oh, sorry.
With the other show.
It's a big stage.
It is?
Yeah.
That's because, I haven't been down there to see it. It's my fault.
There you go.
Do you guys want to work contracts out now? Or what else did you see?
A little aside.
Sorry about that.
No. I need to finish about...
I prepared this slideshow.
About Neil Adams. It's very apparent she was very, very much in love with Mr. McQueen, as he was with her. But at some point, something went south, And his reputation as a womanizer certainly came into play in his lifetime, and I think Ally McGraw got the ramifications of that.
Right.
So.
Right.
But at any rate, definitely, if you have a chance to see her anywhere that she's playing in the country, and she's going right back to Paris with a new show, because she's big in Paris, see her. Neely Adam and the El Portal Theater, and they're always wonderful shows that they bring in all through the year. My other pleasure was seeing for the very first time Lil Abner.
Yeah. You just figure you got to use it again.
I know, right? Yeah. And this is a musical that was on Broadway back in the 50s, and with a book by Norman Panama and Melvin Frank, and music by Gene DePaul, and lyrics by Johnny Mercer.
What?
How great is that?
Yeah.
Directed by my friend Bruce Kimmel, who is just blew me away with his take on this show. And the show doesn't get done very often because it is a cast of about 50 people.
Right.
But so he cut that right in half. Smart as that is, of course, and had those people double up. Not the primary leads, but everybody else doubled up. And I had never saw it before, so I had no was not the wiser to that. Orchestrations by David Siegel, choreography by Kay Cole, Kay being from the original company of A Chorus Line. And he did this at the Los Angeles City College in a beautiful 99-seat theater there, which is next door to their larger theater. And what an amazing...
L.A. City College, that's the one, it's in Van Nuys, right? It's right here?
No. The Los Angeles City College it's in Hollywood. I'm saying the wrong school.
Right. No, I just thought I remembered seeing the sign here in the neighborhood.
That's L.A. Valley College.
L.A. Valley College, yeah. Okay, that's right.
City College is on, right there in the downtown area of Hollywood.
Over there.
Right. Not downtown, but... Right. Sorry. Anyhow, regardless, he pooled together students of the theater department there because it is a theater academy production. And it's also Mr. Kimmel's alma mater.
Oh, really?
So he brought in people to do their thing. And I must say, he also had a few amazing talents that have kind of been discovered in this show. Oh, and one of them was the lead, Little Abner himself, Evan Buckley Harris. Was a young man that happened to be in Los Angeles for the moment and is kind of nomadic and goes wherever the work takes him. This kid, and Bruce had a very difficult time casting that role. And if you don't have the right guy in that role, you don't have a show, right?
Yeah, right.
But this kid not only was great looking, he was a very, very good actor, and he was an amazing singer. And this role rested on him, as did the role of Daisy May, who was played by Madison Clare Parks, who is the granddaughter of Betty Garrett. And she is
Betty Garrett.
Astounding.
Irene
in this
Lorenzo.
Role. Yes.
Yes. Betty Garrett. Incredible talent.
She, I've seen her do the very legit things that she's done, such as Oklahoma down at Musical Theater West and playing Christine Day in Phantom of the Opera, et cetera. She's young. Young. I'm saying she's 16-ish.
Wow.
Yeah. And she is
and burned it down.
Extraordinary in this show. And gorgeous, of course. Barry Pearl. The actor
Barry Pearl
from the movie Grease.
Yes.
Who played Duty in that...
Who just did that wonderful production at Pasadena Playhouse with our friend Scott Lowell of 12 Angry Men.
Yes.
He was in that one as well.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And so many other people, including a standout performance by Christian Rasmussen, who came in very last minute and replaced someone, and he played Earthquake Magoon, who is the love interest to Daisy May, the one that's trying to get Harrison, and she's in love with Little Abner. Anyhow, in short, Bruce Kimmel, you did an amazing job with an amazing show, and I told you this at the theater that day. You need to bring this show into Los Angeles and put it in the theater for a long, extended run. That good with a band that was all country, and I mean, it just... kicked. It really
Bruce Kimmel
so
has a different. Bruce Kimmel has a different project every 5 minutes.
He does.
He's the hardest working man in show.
Yes, he is.
If he's not recording a cast album, he's directing a play, or he's doing his Kritzerland things
at my place, and he's getting ready to do another album with Sandy Bainham, who was on our show.
Right.
And she's got a little, he's just announced yesterday, he's put together a 35-piece orchestra for this album, and it's going to be done in Studio A, where Mr. Sinatra did all of his things at Capitol Records.
Oh,
hello.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Michael, would you introduce the lovely lady to my right here?
So I can,
who's sitting here so patiently.
Are you ready? Wait a minute. This is when she gets on the lap.
What's that?
This is when she gets on our lap.
All right.
No? Okay. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, hails from New Jersey. She comes from a large Irish Catholic family and is not only the youngest of six children, but the only girl. She made her musical theater debut as Maria in Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story at the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey. Off-Broadway, she appeared as Violet Hilton in 20 Fingers, 20 Toes and as Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors, which she also starred in across Europe. Fate brought her to Los Angeles, where she continues to work in musical theater and appears in her own concerts as a singer of jazz, Broadway, and the Great American Songbook. On the other side of her musical life, she is considered one of LA's most creative and enterprising businesswomen, owning and running her own company called Celebration Entertainment, which she started with Adam Smith. Please welcome Maura Hanlon Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rocking out.
How are you?
I am very well. Thank
you. You are just a force of nature. I met you about a half an hour ago, 40 minutes ago, and you just walked in. And you have such a lovely energy and joy to you, and you're just a kick.
Thank you. You really are. Thank you.
Your show, this is my first question for this sort of thing.
Okay.
which Michael's probably tired of hearing, but I'm always curious of people that because I don't know much about it. Do you assemble your show based on, like, do you assemble the evening based on the songs, or do you, like, have a message that you want to say and find songs to fit it?
Both.
Honestly,
both. Okay. I mean, this is probably my 8th one-woman show, and I always kind of pick a theme. My last one up at Sterling's was about my life in L.A.
Okay.
This one, obviously, life, love, and all that comes with it, is about just everything, you know, a woman goes through, a person goes through. And so I picked out all of the songs that I love that fit the theme.
Okay.
And then I would put them in order and then chuck a few and then put them in order.
Distill it
and
down.
Chuck
yeah.
a few.
Yeah.
And during the course of all this, a few changes happened in my life. So at one point, the show was just all ballads and really bad poetry. Wish I was lying. But I'm so comical that, you know, I was like, that lasted for 2 minutes when all my friends and my director said, yeah, no.
Yep. Original poetry or?
Oh, of course.
I only say that because of a Charles Grodin quote, which is one of my favorite quotes. But Charles Grodin said, someone asked him if there was something more difficult than making your living as an actor, and he said, yes, selling original poetry. Door to door.
So just to make it clear, it's not that anymore. So then, you know, with time and humor, I mean, I love humor. I love life, honestly. And so it just changed, and we've developed this piece that I just love now. I mean, it's so me, it's so human, it's so comical, it's, you know, has its moments.
And you have a wonderful director on this project, Robert Marr.
Yes, I love him dearly.
Who directed your last act?
He did my last act, and he directed me in Oklahoma.
Right.
And he is my eyes. He keeps me honest.
So important, like we've discussed.
It's so important.
He's a lovely guy, too. Very, very talented.
Yeah. And I have so much help from Carol D'Andrea.
Yes, Carol D'Andrea, who's such a gracious woman, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. What does she do in the...
You know, she's a former performer herself from the motion picture, I think most notably from the motion picture West Side Story, and as a dancer in that film. And she's probably done a gazillion other such movies and
Broadway.
She is a wonderful teacher of musical theater.
She's just sort of weighing in
she's
on...
She's my coach.
Oh, she's your coach. Oh, okay.
So I need eyes.
I'm like you.
I need eyes. I want eyes. I want, you know, I have ideas, but then...
That's just the thing. Listening, you mentioned earlier, you know, to having more than one eye on the project. And that's, you know, two heads are better than one. And if they're the right heads, three heads are better than two. What is the instrumentation for this? How many pieces do you have?
I have three pieces behind me with a surprise fourth. But
a surprise fourth?
So I have...
Okay, I'll play kazoo. You can just ask me. You don't have to sabotage me on the air here. I'm the Jew harp. I need a Jew harp.
After my third number.
I was told there'd be a Jew harp.
I was told. I'm leaving. Or drinking. I don't know. I have Brad Bobo on bass. I love this man. He's an amazing...
What's his name? Brad Bobo?
Brad Bobo.
How cool.
And
wow.
He is...
I'll write that down.
Yeah, really.
It's one of the great musician names of all time,
he
Brad
is,
Bobo.
Yeah.
And who's your bass?
Oba Babatunde.
Yeah. My bass is
real
Brad
deal.
Bobo.
Watch your language, mister.
And then on drums, I have Larry Urena, who's wonderful and fantastic. And then John Dixon is going to play piano and is my musical director.
Wow.
John Dixon is a monster on the piano, but also his true love is French horn. I mean, he's just a musician.
Really?
He plays for everybody. He plays for Bernadette. He plays for everybody. He's wonderful.
And now you've played Sterling's upstairs, but at the old location where you have Vitello's. So this is your first time at the Federal.
Yes.
But you've seen things at the Federal. And you know what a gorgeous room it is. And
beautiful.
Okay.
And actually, when I wrote the show, because Vitello's is so intimate, and, you know, with the boots and the red, and this is more like a loft.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote it bigger and larger and I just took into account the room. I love the room. Yeah. I'm mad for the room. Yeah,
well, when they lower you on that crescent moon, that's really going to be something.
Upside down.
I just see that one.
No, actually, I'm having silks in, and I'm going to twist.
There you go. Yeah.
Twist. Me in pink.
Yes.
That's the encore, though, yeah. Isn't it?
That's the encore. Yeah.
The show we're talking about is with Maura Hanlon-Smith. It's called Life, Love, and All That Comes With It. This will be one night only at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. It's Monday, June 9th. And, of course, Sterling's Upstairs for reservations. It's 818-754-8700. They got the VIP reserved seating, which I highly recommend. And then, of course, general admission seating as well. It's a 6:30 to 7 o'clock arrival for dinner and or drinks with an 8 to 9 p.m. performance. And once again, we'll throw that information out there again a number of times in the next 10 minutes that we have.
Let's talk to Maura. Not only, I mean, we know she's a wonderful singer and performer, but she's got this amazing business in town that is so unique and special, which she works so very hard at.
Yes.
And Celebration Entertainment. And so let's talk about this. It's largely for children's parties, but you do other and all types of special
events.
We
do everything. When I moved out here, you know, trying to decide what I wanted to do as an artist next, I was working with children and doing what I also studied, musical therapy. So I was working with children and doing creative dramatics. And somebody said, "Will you design a party for my daughter?" Because she was a fetal alcohol syndrome child and had so many issues. And I said, "Of course I will." So I designed this party. And as her birthday present, I wrote her a script. I made a play and had friends Wow. come and put it on. And so at the party was all these Hollywood A-listers and said, "Will you come and do my party?" And I was like, "Is that a job?" So I just started writing plays and stories for other families. And then I started creating all these events. And then Warner Brothers said, "Will you do a premiere?" And I said, "I don't know how to do a premiere." And they said, "No, we've been to your parties. You'll be fine." So that was The Little Princess. And that was so much fun. So I designed that whole thing. And it just kind of got on and on and on.
Is there a website we can tell the listeners about?
Yes, celebrationentertainment.net.
Celebrationentertainment.net.
Yes.
And, you know, they don't always have to be people that she does parties for.
Oh, you're so bad. I know where you're going.
Yeah? Yeah.
Okay. So this past weekend in Malibu, or was it last weekend? I don't
know. Well, as soon as you say Malibu, yeah, you know, it's going to be some sort of indulgence.
Just saying, I've had like 85 parties in 2 weeks, so I have to. Yeah, it's crazy. I did a party for a dog.
You did a party for a dog?
Sure. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Right.
So it was a dog party, and everyone brought their dogs, and we had dog furniture made. And
that's
they were
so sweet.
It was really, really, really
sweet.
But
she flew people in from entertainers in for this.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was sort of like a communal thing of a bunch of people brought their pets and they
everybody brought their pets. Yeah.
Oh,
it was the dog's birthday. So
that
everybody
sounds fun. It doesn't sound I mean, I just had this idea of a dachshund on a red velvet chair where the feet don't touch the ground.
No. So everybody brought their dogs to the party. It was the dog's birthday. Oh no, we had entertainment all over the place and chefs and it was amazing. But my favorite part is there's several houses on this property, and inside one of the houses was all the desserts. So one of the guests went in there and said, "Oh, this cake looks wonderful. I'm going to have a big old bite." And asked one of, asked the maitre d', what cake is this? And he looked up on the menu and said, "Oh, that's the creme brulee cheesecake." And the guest said, "Fabulous." Took a big old piece, big old bite. By the way, this is a massive star doing this big bite. Takes the big bite. It was literally the dog cake for the dogs.
Yes.
He proceeded to spit it.
You know, it's not only delicious, but it scrapes off ugly tartar.
And he's going to attract every dog in the neighborhood.
I love this cheesecake, and my coat has never been glossier.
Look at my skin.
Was it not the right time to have that cake, or was it kind of an indulgence at that moment? And
it
they
wasn't
entitled
to.
It was literally cake was for the dog.
Oh, I realize that, but I'm saying maybe that was some karma coming back there.
Feeling he was entitled.
You said it was a very big star.
Yes,
we know how that can be.
Maybe. Yeah. I'll have to next
and
time.
And the host is
so now,
the host was also a very big star.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Superstar.
But we can't.
Oh, well, we can't.
Superstar.
Okay, I'll have to ask you that off the air.
Yeah.
but I'm curious about this, what you said, because earlier on, is it primarily themed around the guest in terms of, like, do you write a new script for, or is that sort of a custom job, or do you have sort
That's
of a...
That's a custom job. Okay. I have standard, I mean, I've done it for so many years.
Because you can't do 85 shows in two, or 80 no, plus shows say. In no, 2 weeks no, and no. have it customized.
And, so, no. and some of them are, well, don't tell my clients they're not custom. They think every single one of them is.
I think that's going to go the way of the casting director comment yeah, right. from earlier. That'll be excised in post.
Excised. No, but we customize as much as possible. You know, I have spoiled my clients rotten through the years. So we customize a lot. But we just don't do the entertainment now. Through the years, it was just more do all my entertainment. And then it was, oh, you've met every caterer. Will you get the caterer? Oh, will right. you design the event? Will you design
oh,
this?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so now I do everything.
But you, for this right. one, you were saying you flew in a psychic. Mm-hmm. You had all sorts of different elements. Mm-hmm.
Before, no, I mean, that's a different party for the same weekend.
Oh.
That was a different party in Bel Air.
But I thought, why would the dogs need that?
Yeah, no. I flew you know. In a mentalist.
What is a dog psychic
Can you imagine?
In your future. Sure, I see you pooping in the yard. I just see that happening.
I see it.
About 15 minutes, actually.
I yeah. see you lifting a leg.
Yes. I see a leg being lifted. I see butts being sniffed.
Oh, wait, and the leg is going to be lifted on the man who bit the cake.
Right. Yes. Oh, was it a male movie oh. star?
I'm not saying anything. I didn't
man.
Say it.
You said the man of the game.
We're at that time, Michael, but before we get to before we baptize our two guests,
yes.
I want to throw this information out there again. There are two productions you should see. This is He Wrote Good Songs
yeah.
with our guest, John Peterson, and that's preview Sunday, June 8th. That's with the HollywoodFringeFestival.org. Go to HollywoodFringe.org to look at all the different things there, but look at John specifically. Friday, June 13th, 8:30. Monday, June 16th at 10 p.m. Saturday, June 21st at 11. Saturday, June 28th at 5:30, and then Maura Hanlon Smith, Life, Love, and All That Comes With It, Monday, June 9th, 2014, Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, 6:37 arrivals for dinner and drinks, 8 to 9 p.m. performance, reservations 818-754-8700. It's that time.
It
we
is.
Get enough to start with Maura, or we start with John, but we want to ask you about...
They're both petrified.
They are. Oh, this yeah. is yes. when we ask you about things that went wrong.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Things that went wrong during performance, whether they're embarrassing or hopefully not injury-inducing, but
it can be anything.
Both of you have such long and illustrious careers, you have to have a good well to choose from. We'll start with you, John.
Good welt. Well, I was in the UK, I was a dancer, and I was touring with a guy called Wayne Sleep, who was the original Mistopheles in Cats. He was a big star with the Royal Ballet. He was big, huge over there. And... basically a ballet dancer who thought he was better than that, but really wasn't. so I toured with him in his show, and we had this number. It was just awkward. He thought he could tap, so we had to do this tap number where jingle taps, which is for people that can't tap, that makes more noise. They're like two taps, a little tap in the middle that makes a rattling sound. Yeah. So we're all in there tapping on, and I had to tap on with this ballet bar on wheels, and then tap, 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 tap. Stop it, park the brake, and then get off and join the routine. Well, 1 week we were doing it in Chichester, which is a beautiful theatre, but it's in the Round. So,
is that the sauce for steak?
What
did you say?
No, that's Worcester.
Oh, excuse me.
Chichester, no, Chichester. Oh, it's in
Chichester.
England.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a small town called A1 in northern England.
This theatre was in the Round, so I didn't really know what to do. They tried to restage it, but it really didn't work. So I waltzed on or tapped on with this ballet bar, and the audience were right there, you know, right by the front. And I thought, well, this should go around about here. So I put the brakes on, but they got stuck. And I was like, oh, God. So I pushed it down, and I thought, I've got to be there right in 2 seconds. So I just pushed it, ran on, and started joining the routine. And I thought, I looked over to my left, and there was the bar, and it was rolling this huge, heavy ballet bar, and it just went tipped over the stage on top of the front row of the audience.
Oh my God.
And they were like,
oh.
That's all I remember.
Oh, no one was injured.
I don't remember any consequences.
Was there a scream?
End of story.
From the audience?
There was a certain amount of noise.
Yeah. Maura's story is: I was attending a show in Chichester, and I was hit with a club.
for this?
No, what is
and
your?
I have a twitch still. I can't can't go to the theater anymore.
A chittister twitch. I got the chittister twitch. What is your tale?
I mean, honestly, I think we all have 100. But one of my favorites is when I was off Broadway doing 20 Fingers, 20 Toes, I was literally the left half of the Hilton sisters. The Hilton sisters were the famous, you know, they went on to make a Sideshow.
Yes.
Out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was Violet Hilton.
More Brits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was the left half. What they didn't realize when they auditioned us,
for those that don't know Sideshow, they were conjoined twins.
They were conjoined twins, and we were joined at the hip. And so they had built us a whole rig, and we had, you know, it was like a big, massive girdle, and every night we would have to slide into it, and we'd be in it for two and a half hours. So one night we're sitting backstage right before the curtain went up for Act Two, and we are sitting on this chair we sat on every single night, and we're waiting. And so we hear, ba-cha-cha-ba-ba-ba-ba, and we're like, okay, we got to stand up. So we stand up. I'm like, what is wrong with the girdle tonight? I'm like, oh, my God, it must be twisted. Oh, gee. I'm like, do you feel that? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, let's try to adjust. We try to adjust, and we walk towards the stage, and all of a sudden we hear, don't go on. It's the stage manager. Now, he's in the back of it's at the WPA. He's in the back of the theater, and we hear him running towards us, but we hear our cue coming on, too. Literally, when we stood up, the chair attached itself to our girdle.
Oh, my God.
And we were walking onto stage with a chair attached to us.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to do the obvious joke. The obvious joke. Maura,
yes.
Take your seat. Okay. Oh, that's hysterical.
That is so
very
funny.
Oh man, what a pleasure having both of you on. This was a joy.
A good
Thank
time.
You.
I hope
that
our
just
listening
flew,
audience
didn't
had,
it?
Had as good a time as we did here.
What's that?
I said, I hope our listeners had as good a time
I hope
as we
they
did
as well. And we're going to take a picture
these guys
outside, and we're going to put that on our Facebook page so you can see how lovely these folks are, in addition to being wonderful guests on the radio. That is facebook.com/stateoftheartsLA. Such a pleasure. Thank you both.
Thanks,
for being
absolutely.
Thank you, John.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Maura. Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
All right.
I'll see you
next
on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.